After 15 years in production, the sci-fi fantasy thriller series Supernatural says goodbye to its devoted fans. We'll talk to one super-duper fangirl on this episode of Pop Life.
Digital content on WAER is made possible thanks to California Closets, located in DeWitt. California Closets can help you get organized for the new year with custom storage solutions for the closet, home office, kitchen pantry, and more. Online at californiaclosets.com.
Welcome to Pop Life. I'm Joe Lee. Supernatural, the sci-fi series on the CW, wraps up 15 years of production. The show is known as one of the first series to develop a serious superfan base. And no wonder, with its attractive cast, creative storylines, and unending monster hunting.
Don't you understand, Sam? It's not about your soul. Dean's in hell, right where we want him. We've got everything exactly the way we want it. You want to kill me? Go ahead. I have made peace with my lord.
To say a proper goodbye to the show, one superfan collected memories, stories, and reflections from other superfans and cast members and compiled them into one fascinating read. I welcome to today's show Lynn Zubernis. She's the editor of There'll Be Peace When You Are Done. Actors and fans celebrate the legacy of Supernatural. Lynn Zubernis, welcome to Pop Life. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So you edited a book, and that book is to celebrate, I guess, the long legacy, the history of the show Supernatural. It's called There'll Be Peace When You're Done. Actors and fans celebrate the legacy of Supernatural. First, for those that are not familiar with the show, Supernatural, which is in its 15th and final season, or has it been completed?
It has just been completed a little less than a month ago.
Right. Okay. So tell us a little bit about the show for those that aren't familiar.
The show is a little sort of sci-fi genre show that aired on the WB network, which then became the CW network. And it's basically about two brothers who are sort of hunting monsters, both real and metaphorical. So it kind of works on multiple levels. And all of the people and angels and celestial beings that end up helping them along the way. And I think the reason it became so popular is because it has a really overt theme of always keep fighting, like never let anything beat you down. Those brothers have been through so much more than any of us that I think it makes all of us feel hopeful when we see that they can keep getting up and keep going.
Very cool. Now, how did a clinical psychologist and professor become a fangirl of a show like Supernatural? On first glance, it seems to like a show that would have a young female fan base. Is that the profile? How did you become a fan?
I do have a kind of an unusual story, and it surprised me as much as it surprised anyone. But I will say before I tell my story that it actually has an extremely diverse fan base. So yes, a lot of women are fans. Yes, a lot of young women are fans. But
and I only say that because they, you know, there's a bunch of good looking guys on there.
Indisputably, there's and I have noticed that. I won't say that I didn't. But it really runs the age range. I mean, there are very young people who are into the show who weren't even born when it started. And there are grandmothers who watch the show with their daughters and granddaughters. And there's a lot of men that watch the show, too. They may not be the loudest in the fandom, but they are definitely out there in the general audience watching.
Probably guys like me that are sci-fi and fantasy fans.
Exactly. It pulls in that same audience. And the show, it was made by all the people who made shows like X-Files and things like that. So it pulled a lot of its audience from that show, which a lot of men and women loved X-Files. I actually got pulled into it kind of reluctantly by a friend who fell in love with it and then just kept sending everyone in our friend group videotapes. It was so long ago, they were VHS videotapes of this show and insisting that we watch it. And I wasn't really pulled into it in the first season. I watched it sort of for her. But then in the very beginning of the second season, I was watching one of her videotapes that she sent dutifully as I was grading papers. And I realized I was sort of hovering with the pen in the air. The papers were sliding off my lap. I was mesmerized by the show. And I sort of sat back and said, oh my God, this is an incredible show. I remember my daughter was watching with me and she was like, Mom, you've been watching this show for a year. What is wrong with you? But that was it. It just spoke to me. And I liked it on a different level. I became a fan of it. I'd never done that before. And so, I started doing the research because I was sort of like, oh my God, what's happening to me?
What about the show pulled you in?
It was when I realized that the show was working on an entirely different level than that surface level of two brothers hunting monsters. I mean, I had liked genre shows before. I was an X-Files fan. I was a Buffy fan. I was a Star Trek fan, but not a fan to the extent that I was in the fandom. I just liked the shows. When the show started to really go deep and really show the relationship that these brothers had and sort of the emotional turmoil, I think for me as a psychologist, as a clinical psychologist, I was like, wait a minute, this show is really doing this right. Like they are really looking at emotions and relationships and people's relationship to each other and to sort of ethics and right and wrong and fate and destiny. And that was it. I was just pulled down the rabbit hole.
So you mentioned fandom, and it seems like you were escorted in by a friend. From what you've researched on this show, the popularity, the fandom around this, was this developed by the either producers, showrunners, or was this organic in its coming together?
It was absolutely organic. I mean, I don't think Warner Brothers ever thought in a million years that this would be the show that would run for 15 seasons, that would become so popular, that it has an unprecedented number of conventions. There has never been a show that took off like this. And having been a fan of it since the beginning, I sort of watched those grassroots efforts of the fans in those first seasons to literally keep it on the air. It was on the bubble every year. It was, you know, very close to going down several times. It was really the fans that kept it on the air. And then it caught the attention of convention organizers who realized, hey, there's a really passionate fandom here. I think we could, you know, make some money and have some conventions. And eventually the show had conventions sort of every month or twice a month all over the world, which that's never happened even for Star Trek conventions. And that created this weirdly reciprocal relationship between the actors and the fans, because even if the actors in the first place had had some stereotypes about fans, we all know stereotypes break down when you're having face-to-face interaction. They were seeing people every 2 weeks, having discussions, realizing who they were, that fans were just like them. And so that created a really unique situation between the fans and the actors that then contributed to keeping the show going as well.
I've only had a couple of experiences where I needed to be a part of a group to discuss a show. That would be Game of Thrones and Lovecraft Country. How did fans come together to have a shared experience? My experience was through, I think, a couple of Facebook groups that were dedicated to Game of Thrones. How did fans of Supernatural come together to have a shared experience?
Interestingly, that's also something that makes Supernatural unique, because it started in 2005. So it literally began coinciding with the rise of social media. So initially fans got together largely on things like Facebook groups, same as you're talking about, but also on blogging sites, early blogging sites like LiveJournal. So fandom at that time was sort of more underground, especially for a show like Supernatural. And those fan communities became really important to people. Later, as social media expanded, those fan platforms spread out onto Twitter and Tumblr and Facebook and Reddit and, you know, Instagram, all over the place, TikTok. But really, it happened with social media. So Supernatural was one of the ones kind of driving that move of fandom into social media.
Talk to me for a minute about the mythology that informs this show.
It has a really complicated mythology, as you can imagine, since it's been on the air for 15 seasons. It started out being a show about sort of one kind of big bad, who was a very big bad, kind of a demon, who was after this family, the Winchester family. And the thread that has run throughout the show is that the Winchesters, Sam and Dean, the brothers, and their parents, John and Mary, were in some way special, sort of chosen for special focus by some kind of bad guy. The mythology sort of went back and forth amongst some seasons were more kind of monster of the week, lower level bad guys. Some were pretty epic. The last couple of seasons, God himself was the big bad. So you can't really get more epic than that. So the mythology really had an evolution. I think it had to in order to keep going for 15 seasons. I don't know where they would have gone after God. That's, you know, pretty much as epic as you can get.
Work we did to turn Jack here into a cosmic bomb.
Oh.
Well, it turned him into sort of a power vacuum. He's been sucking up bits of power all over the place. So when the two heavyweights, your boys, showed up to duke it out, they charged him right up.
See, we knew Michael would warn you, and you'd show up here. And you did, and you killed your own son.
And you beat the crap out of us.
So the title of the book, There'll Be Peace When You're Done, I'm assuming there's a reference to the show in that fans would get. But for non-fans, people who are just going to discover it, what does that refer to?
So interestingly, that refers to the show's unofficial theme song, which is Carry On Wayward Son by Kansas. So that is a line from that show. The show started playing that in there at the end of the season to like wrap it up in the second season and continued it. And it just became for fans something that they really wished for these characters. It really spoke to fans about the brothers. Kansas, the band, totally jumped on board and then became Supernatural fans themselves. So I was at a Comic-Con panel in Hall H with Supernatural one year where Kansas, the band, came on stage and kicked off the Supernatural panel with a surprise live performance of that song. So that song has very special meaning. And it actually played, spoiler alert, I guess, a little bit if someone hasn't seen the Supernatural finale, but it played at the end, the very end of the show to wrap it up in two different versions. So it was really like, for fans, that was a beautiful moment of kind of coming full circle.
So obviously you're a fan. I'm assuming you wanted to find some way to say farewell to the show. Why did you write the book? Or not, why did you edit this book?
I put this book together because I knew that ending this show and losing the show was going to be something that was really difficult for this fandom. After 15 seasons and being such a passionate and engaged fandom, losing it was going to be really hard. And because of that unique reciprocal relationship, the actors realized it was going to be really hard too. So they and I, by this time I had come to know them after writing six books on the show. So they and I together put together a book in their words, as well as fans' words and my words, talking about what the legacy of the show is and how special it is, so that it would be something, you know, we know one of the things that helps with grieving is if you have something to hang on to and sort of help you always remember that. So we put the book together as a way of hanging on to the show and remembering the show. And I think it's a lot more, I mean, I could have just written it. I certainly have plenty to say, but I think it's much more powerful coming from the actors in their own words, because it's nice for fans to know it meant that much to them as well.
And also coming from the fans, there's a lot of different perspectives. When you read this book, you're looking through the eyes of others at the show. Everybody's got a common experience in watching the show, but they're seeing it differently. One of the things that stood out to me was Jessica Mason. And she wrote a section called Out of the Fridge and Into the Fire. She's a self-described feminist. And she tracks the progress of how women are portrayed on the show from beginning to end. And Out of the Fridge refers to a trope where women, the gratuitous death of women were used to move along the male hero's plot. It's a very interesting way to look at that. Is that something you agreed with? Did you see similar things happening on that show in how women were developing as essential characters?
Yes, absolutely. And not just women, all, you know, GLBTQ characters and trans characters and female characters. And non-binary characters, one of the things that we wanted to do in this book was to kind of trace the evolution of the show around how it represented all these different people, because we knew that the fandom was really diverse. We knew that all kinds of people love this show. And so we really wanted this book to be for everyone. We wanted everyone to see themselves in it. So we didn't want to shy away from saying this show started in 2005. Were there times that the show didn't do a great job with representation? Absolutely. But everybody who wrote a chapter in the book recognizes that the show has evolved and has tried. And I think that representation, whatever there is of it, has been really important to people.
I was also struck by a submission from Tedra Ashley Wanamuller. And she writes about how a single episode character wouldn't let her go. This character was Cesar. And she liked the fact that it was a normal character, wasn't stereotyped. Is that common among fans of the show, where some of the supporting cast are really pulling you in beyond the major players?
Yes, and I think that's an unusual thing about the show, and it speaks to just how passionate and engaged this fandom is, that even people who have been on the show, in that case, that was one episode where there were two male characters who were gay in a committed relationship, which was shown in a very sort of matter-of-fact, non-stereotypical way, that was really powerful to fans who also identify as queer. And so it can have that impact. If you go to a Supernatural convention, you'll see the lead actors there, Jared Jensen and Misha, who have been on, you know, Jared and Jensen every episode, Misha on many episodes. But you'll also see characters who were there for one, two, maybe three episodes, who, because of the character they played, became really important to the fandom. So it's a fandom who really holds its cast very, very close to it.
You're a clinical psychologist. What kind of personality gets wrapped up into a television show like this for a number of years?
I don't think it's one particular type of personality. I've talked to so many fans, and there are people who sort of got into this for all different reasons. But I think the reason why we look for a television show to mean something for us could be a couple things. It could be escape. You know, it's a healthy outlet for people to have, to find something that they can get absorbed in for 1 hour a week or a couple hours a week or whatever it is. That feels good, especially when there's something like a pandemic going on, or there's all kinds of social and political strife going on. There's also, you know, it's also a way to build community. So people who are looking for an alternative way of connecting with other people and finding community, that's one of the powerful things about fandom. People come together around the television show, as you said in the beginning, but they might stay in that community for the benefits of the community, that sense of belongingness, that sense of validation, that sense of being understood by other people. So those are two reasons. They're both healthy, unless, you know, you're doing this 24/7 and you lose your job or something, but I haven't seen that happen too often.
So you wrote this, or you edited this, you pulled these stories together and put this book together as a bit of legacy. What is the legacy of the show?
I think the legacy of the show is a couple of things. And it's interesting, the one thing that I did, I let people write very free form. I wanted people to express, who were contributing to the book, what they wanted to express. But I did ask all of them to weigh in on what they think the legacy of the show is. I think from my perspective, it has left so many people with such a determination to keep fighting, whatever that might mean to them. I think Jensen Ackles talks about it in his chapter, about he thinks that what the show has done is to get that message across. And maybe it's you're fighting mental health challenges, maybe you're fighting depression or anxiety, something like that. Maybe you're fighting to express your creativity. Maybe you're fighting to be your real self and to be who you really are and to put that out there. But whatever battle it is that you're fighting, I think this show is a real inspiration. Sam and Dean and Castiel all sort of rebelled against what they were supposed to do and did what they wanted to do and fought for what they thought was the right thing for them and for others. And I think that's what people will take from it, is that message. And I like that the actors are so happy about that, that that's what they wanted to get across too.
Yeah, and I think one of the legacies for the actors, at least according to one of the principals, Jared Padalecki, reminiscing in his section about the friendships that have been made over the 15 years that this show has, and not just friendships, but the feeling of family. And I can't imagine that you could be on a show that long and not have that develop as a part of it. And he attributes a lot of success to this. He says in the book, we wouldn't exist without the fandom. So really understood how fans kept this show afloat, not just from a rating standpoint, but just, I guess, giving life to them and to the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Jared wrote a chapter in the book that I published before this, which is called Family Don't End with Blood. And his chapter is titled What the Fandom Means to Me. And it's like a 32-page chapter that kind of traces his own evolution as a fan and what the fandom and his fellow actors, who all became a family, did for him at the lowest time in his life to get him through some really pretty serious mental health challenges also. So he's been very candid about what the fandom and the show and his fellow cast and crew have done for him personally.
Where are fans going now that the show is over? Is there a rival show out there, other shows where they've put their attention to?
So I think one thing that's interesting in terms of kind of moving on from a show that ends is people are trying to do two things simultaneously. One is keep the fandom of Supernatural going. So all those communities that are built and all those relationships, I don't think they're going anywhere. The actors are hoping for a reboot. The fans are hoping for a reboot. So I don't feel like we are saying goodbye as much as, okay, see you later down the line. But I think this fandom is particularly lucky because the leads are going on to other shows. So Jared is doing a new show called Walker, a CBS show that's going to air on the CW. So he's already filming that. And Jensen has joined the cast of Amazon's The Boys, which is a really popular show right now that Obama just mentioned is on his top list. So
I watched that show.
I do too. I've watched it for 2 years. So I'm really excited that that's where Jensen is going. So the fandom is kind of lucky that it has two really exciting things to follow the leads to. But I don't think that means they're going to walk away from the Supernatural fandom anytime soon.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Lynn Zabernis, editor of There Will Be Peace When You Are Done, actor and fans celebrate the legacy of Supernatural. It's a great fan tribute. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thanks for having me.
You can get caught up with previous seasons of Supernatural on the CW, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and TNT, among other content providers. And give Lynn's book a read. It provides great insight into the fan craze of Supernatural. Hey, do you consider yourself a super fan of a TV series? Drop us a note on the Pop Life Facebook page. I'm genuinely curious. Pop Life is a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Our producer is Kevin Kloss. Imani Lee was our associate producer on this episode. Be sure to stalk us wherever you get your podcast. I'm Joe Lee.